is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Joining us now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, before we get into some Buffs talk here, you're pretty familiar with David Shaw, of course, being in the Pac-12, covering this that team and CU's opponents for, 16-plus years, whatever, however long Shaw's been there. What are your thoughts on David Shaw? Who better to ask than a guy that follows the Pac-12 as closely as you do? What are your thoughts on David Shaw being the next head coach for the Broncos?
Well, that's always a question, how a guy's going to transition from college to the pros. It's a very different game. But in terms of the human being, everything I know about David Shaw, very quality man. I mean, the high-integrity guy, loved the way he handled himself at Stanford. Obviously won a lot of football games over a lot of years there. So in terms of the man, I think he's outstanding. And he's certainly smart enough to surround himself with a great staff. So I would not necessarily have a major problem with that whatsoever, because I do think he's a quality guy. And again, there's always that question about transition to the pros. And what I mean by that, for maybe your listeners that don't quite see the difference, the college game is about the coach. The pro game is about the players. And, you know, we've seen a lot of college guys try to make that transition where they're accustomed to kind of, what I say goes and nobody questions what I say. That's not quite the way it works in the game. So I'm quite certain that David Shaw will be smart enough to make that transition. Probably is well aware of that as well, I'm certain. And so I think he could be a very good candidate for that job.
Mark, you've had people look at his record and go, well, what happened the last 4 years or so? Obviously, they weren't, he was really good most of his time there at Stanford, but the last few years weren't so great. Do you think that, and this is maybe an overall generalization of college coaches, isn't it kind of fair to at least give some of these guys some grace going, all right, when you signed up to be a head coach back in 2011 for Stanford, things were a lot different. We weren't dealing with transfer portals. We weren't dealing with NIL. Fast forward to your last 2 years especially, it's a completely different world. And it is, and I'm not saying that makes you better or worse as a head coach. Some can adapt to it and some can't, but that's not necessarily what you sign up for. So when I look at the last few seasons, I go, I wonder if David Shaw was just kind of done. And I know it's a little bit different with Stanford with the GPA stuff and the transfers and all that, but part of me just wonders if he was kind of seeing the trajectory college football was going and now's the time to get out and try my hand at the NFL.
Well, I'll say this, that we just have, at the University of Colorado, have had some changes academically speaking. But keep in mind, when you're talking about Stanford, you're talking about a different deal. You want to talk about a school that can't get transfers in. But they ain't taking transfers at all, right?
Yeah.
And so I think what's happened has very much hurt places like Stanford. Certainly hurt the University of Colorado until they made some adjustments here. And certainly has hurt. So I wouldn't put a lot of stuff. I always kind of chuckle at that. Do you think all of a sudden David Shaw forgot how to coach? After all those years of having great success, so then what you look for is the variable. What changed? What changed within the world of college football? Well, college football changed. In terms of how the business of college football, it's been altered greatly. I think David Shaw was probably in a position where, I've spent quite a bit of time, obviously, at Stanford campus. That's a different creature now. That's a very different world. And I'm not so sure that they're willing necessarily to go out and play all the games that you've got to play if you're going to play, at the highest levels of college football anymore. And so I wouldn't put too much stock in that. He was a very good coach for a very long time. You've got a very large sample size with him.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. If you just look at the last few years, well, that was right in the kind of in the beginning process of all of this stuff, really. Yep. I mean, I'm not saying that's directly impacting it, but like you just said, Stanford's not playing the game. They're not doing the transfer stuff. They're not, I don't know what their NIL situation looks like, but I'm guessing it's not crazy. They don't have a collective set up or anything like that. So I mean, I wonder why more coaches in college football that have been at it for a while. I even thought that maybe Jim Harbaugh, this is a perfect time to get out because I don't want to deal with this stuff. I'm actually shocked we're not seeing more head coaches that started 10, 15, 20 years ago looking at this going, man, maybe now's the time to get out.
Well, some guys may do that, and I've talked with a number. Look around the country, some of the major coaches the last couple of years, Mike Krzyzewski and Roy Williams, guys like that have stepped aside. I've talked with a lot of coaches that have said either I'm gone or I'm not hanging around too much longer because how crazy this has begun. So I do think there is some of that. Then the other aspect is just the guy. There are guys out there that go, you know what, I don't want to deal with what I got to deal with in the National Football League because they like having a little bit more say or authority than maybe you do in the NFL where, you know, the National Football League, like I said, the players kind of run everything and you're just simply giving them the game plan and you know, making sure that the practices are done right, that kind of thing.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Mark, let's go back to it. The Buffs broke a three-game losing streak by taking down Washington State, and it took the whole game. K.J. Simpson with a pretty much a almost a buzzer beater in that three-pointer to beat Washington State, but Tristan Da Silva was sensational. That had to be a really nice one for the Buffs to get that win, and maybe that's a sign of more things to come.
Well, we'll wait and see. I've got a little Missourian in me. You got to show me, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this team is perplexing to me. I mean, they're supremely talented at times, and then there are other times where they lose their, you know, darn mind. I mean, it really is something, you know, how things work out, how they can, you know, take care of the ball one game, shoot very well, and offense runs well, their intensity is very good. The next game, and you know, they turn the ball over 22 times, and, you know, they shoot, you know, horribly from the foul line. Head around his team, and it's got to be frustrating for Tad, I would think, because of how talented and how, when they do play well, how well they can play, and so it's really interesting. You know, that game, I do think Wazoo was a pretty good darn football or basketball team, rather. I mean, Brady, they went down and won at Arizona, for goodness sakes, down in Tucson. So they are a very talented team. Now their record, they're a little bit inconsistent as well. You know what we're going to see tomorrow night in Oregon,
yes.
They're up and down all over the place, and so. You know, college basketball right now is really fascinating to me with all that we were just talking about with football, with transfer portals and NIL. And, I mean, look at Temple going in and beating number one Houston the other night.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I said on the air when I saw that score come in, I said, college basketball, go home. You're drunk. I mean, it's just nuts what's going on out there right now.
You're exactly right. I don't get anything. I'm watching, I watched that Oregon-Stanford game the other night, too. And I'm just thinking, any minute now, the Ducks are going to go off. They're going to start hitting shots. And they're going to take care of Stanford. And they couldn't buy a bucket. I'm watching our old boy, Keyshawn Barthelemy, too. It's like, who is this Oregon team? Is this the same team that beat Arizona once by quite a bit? So right. I don't know how you're prepping for this game tomorrow, Mark, but I don't have any idea what to expect. CU or Oregon, which two teams are we going to get?
I mean, think about both of these teams. You've got Oregon, Colorado beat it by 27. Colorado loses to Cal. You know, Oregon beats Arizona. You're like, what in the world is going on here? I mean, you know, a lot of times you start to see by this time of year, by the time you start getting close to February 1, you're starting to see everyone kind of settle in a little bit. You're getting an understanding of what everybody is. And right now, there's plenty of college basketball in this Pac-12 conference. There's plenty of teams out there that I'm not certain about. I mean, look what's going on around the country. Kansas has been up and down. Kansas has lost at home, had some close games at home. You've seen North Carolina with some of that. As I mentioned, number one, Houston gets beat. UCLA has gotten beat out of, you know, you kind of went, how'd that happen? Arizona's been the same. So it's really nuts. And, you know, I'm not sure who's going to show up tomorrow. I mean, I'd like to think the Buffs will come out and be able to duplicate what they did against the Ducks the first time. But who knows? I mean, maybe Oregon's got an upswing tomorrow night and the Buffs have a, you know, they're down in the valley. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know how you do it because it's just a lot of unknowns, what to expect. Things that you're looking at, probably, Mark, for keys to the game might be the complete opposite once they actually get into it. So enjoy, though. Hey, it's got to be entertaining at least.
You've heard me say before, I'm in an interesting business. That's what I want. Well, this is certainly interesting. That's sometimes out, but it is interesting, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of interesting, primetime. I mean, that, I'm telling you, Mark, people have asked me, like, my thoughts on it, and I don't really know. I love Deion Sanders. I grew up loving Deion Sanders. Who doesn't love Deion Sanders? But, you know, people are like, what do you think this is going to be? And my first response is exactly what you said. It's a heck of a ride, isn't it? It's really entertaining either way, and there's a story there. We'll see what happens, but it's a lot of this is going to be on camera for us to see.
It's going to be all on camera. I was at a Pac-12 network last night, and the guys were asking me, you know, kind of a projection of wins. And I said, dude, I've got no clue what's
right.
going on. Right. Tough Nation thinks they're going to go 12-0. Las Vegas says they're going to, you know, have the over-under's 4.5 games. I said, heck, if they go 6-6, go to a bowl game, that's a six-fold increase of wins. That would be spectacular. I'm not sure anybody would be happy with that. So I have no idea what's going to happen. All I know is that I've got a front row seat for it. They're going to strap the headphones on, and I'm going to tell everybody exactly what's happening.
Yeah, that's the best part about it to me anyway. And, you know, just you want it, you want wins, you want all that stuff, but it's fun. It's fun to cover this thing, and we'll see what ends up happening, because to me it is a fascinating study, Mark, that could lead us in a completely different direction in the future in a good way, in a positive way, or interestingly, maybe some negative ways too. We'll see. But either way, this is going to be a really fascinating study, and enjoy that front row seat there, Mark. I envy you sometimes, man. This is going to be fun.
And I'll tell you what, Brady, the one thing about it is, you know, as this, how would you say this, new structure, if you will, of college football that Coach Prime has brought in and how it's going to work, if it works very well, and I certainly hope it do, make no mistake about that, I hope this is a wild success. I hope the Buffs do go 11-1 or 12-0 next year. It'd be awesome for me. And if they do that, I'm not sure that somebody else can duplicate it, right?
True, yeah. I mean, it could be tough.
Yeah, because, you know, as I've said before, you know, Deion Sanders has got a 1-1. So if he does do what kind of the expectations are, others will try, because that's what we do. We live in a copycat world. Everyone tries to do what seems to work. I'm not sure anybody else could do it like him. And then if it doesn't work, you know, I'm not sure that you just throw the baby out with the bathwater, because I think there's some really unique and creative things that he's doing in terms of how he's structuring this. So that's why I think it's a fascinating case study. And like I said, I got a front row seat, and I just hope it turns out wildly successful. And heck, I'm calling it a championship in the near future.
I was thinking about the uniqueness of the situation, because you're right. We'll see if teams try to duplicate it. But I was thinking about the uniqueness of this. Deion Sanders, primetime, being the player that he was, but also the entertainer that he was, then getting into TV and doing pretty much the same thing as far as entertainment. And then proving that he can coach in college football. So he's done a lot of everything, and he's walked the walk for the most part. I'm thinking of other major personalities in sports, you know, the guys that I like, that I'm entertained by, the Charles Barkleys of the world. I can't imagine Charles Barkley being a head coach. I can't really imagine Shaq being a college head coach. That's why you're right, Mark. This is so unique. Deion Sanders is a ridiculously powerful, popular personality, but has found a way to lead and perhaps do the little things that go into being a head coach.
You know, there have been plenty of superstar athletes who have tried to become coaches, and it has not worked out. You know, Magic Johnson tried it. You know, Michael Jordan tried to be a general manager, and that didn't have a great deal of success. And, you know, there aren't that many that have accomplished it. And so that's why I think this is going to be fascinating to watch, because he has already had some success. And right now, all the needles are pointing in the right direction. So, yeah, let's kind of see how this thing unfolds.
All right, Mark, appreciate you as always, my friend. What time do you get rocking and rolling tomorrow night?
6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off tomorrow night in the Colorado Basketball Network. You can catch us on the Varsity Network app. That's always an easy way to do it. And by the way, if you haven't dialed up the Varsity Network app on your phone, because all of your favorite college teams, anybody that's associated with Learfield Sports, is on there. And you can go back. Not to listen to the broadcast live. They've also got, all of us are doing, of course, you know, podcasts and coaches shows. They're all, you know, cataloged right there. And so they're, you can go on demand and listen to that kind of stuff as well. So, yeah, if you haven't done that, do it. And you can listen to our broadcast and certainly anybody else.
More Mark Johnson is never a bad thing, my friend. Mark, we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, sounds good to you.
The voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. I am a huge fan of Mark. Mark and I have known each other for quite a while now. Angel, let me ask you this. When Mark's talking, he's not saying anything negative about primetime, but are you sensing that, not a hesitance, but a hesitancy, but like almost a, I don't know if this is going to work out with primetime. It's going to be fun, but I don't know. Are you getting that sense from Mark?
A little bit. I know he has to be,
you
gotta somewhat unbiased
walk
because
that line
of his
a little
position,
bit.
But I think he's true in that we don't know what to expect from Sanders and the Buffs. We don't know what is his offensive scheme going to look like. What's the defensive scheme going to look like? What's the culture going to be like on game day? Are they, you know, do they all have to wear matching suits when they go up to the game? We don't know. It seems we're getting more and more insight on this program as the days go on, but we're really not going to know anything for sure until they hit the field for real in September.
Yeah,
and it could blow up quickly in September.
I saw somebody on Twitter comment on one of his posts. You know, you see the, sometimes they have some of the comments just there, you can see them. Well, Sanders was going off, not going off, but talking about his religion, because he's a very, he's a Christian-minded guy. He talks about that in his relationship with Jesus and God quite a bit, right? Pretty vocal about it. He had tweeted something about it, and somebody had commented on there and said, well, what happens if one of your student-athletes isn't a believer? And I guess I kind of thought of it in a couple of different ways. You know, is what Primetime is doing, is he going to be allowed to kind of preach and talk about, because he has already, he has in front of everybody, the administration there in Boulder. Is he going to be allowed to keep doing that? Because, dude, here it is 2023. I thought that that stuff was kind of frowned upon, but they are letting Primetime do and say whatever he wants. As far as talking, now, me personally, being a believer, I love it. If my kid were going there, great. You're helping them. You're furthering their belief of what I want them to be in their walk with God and faith. But I do wonder about that stuff. Like, nobody's really talked about it. They're letting Primetime open up and talk about this, which I think is a good thing.
I think it's a good thing, too. And if you follow athletes on social media, a lot of them will post Bible quotes or, you know, things they heard from church or giving thanks to God, all kinds of stuff. And you see that with athletes, and I get why we're kind of hesitant when a coach does it. You know, like high schools, you can't even do like prayer, like kneeling prayers with your team. Like, and so it is definitely interesting, and you give the atmosphere of Boulder, and it seems maybe they're too caught up in the hype of Primetime that maybe they haven't just got to that point yet. If he starts this like first game of the season, before the game even kicks off, they're on the sidelines all praying together, that's going to be a story.
Yeah.
They're going to write about that.
There will be a story.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I agree.
I was just curious. Like, oh, I guess they're kind of in Boulder of all places. There it is. 12:52 the time. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy live from the Allo Communications Studios.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and Their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.